Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good afternoon, folks. As you can tell, this is not Gary Wellings talking to you. It's Pastor Richard Dietering again, filling in for Gary. He's gone today for the holidays. I'm sure he's doing something important, doing some very strong investigative journalism, and he'll come back next week and tell you what he found out. But in the meantime, I'm going to be filling in for him, and I was just sitting here going through his newspaper. Gary Wellings is with The Current. And I was reading it, and I sat here and I saw this Brighton ad for Brighton Ford. And then underneath Brighton Ford, it says all makes and models. And guess what? They don't just repair Fords. They do GMC, Honda, Chrysler, Lincoln, Jeep, Acura, Cadillac. Pretty much, if it has four wheels on it and it needs repairs or services, they take care of it for you. So if you get a chance to go out to Brighton Ford, do so. Also pick up this month's issue of The Current, because in it, for Brighton Ford, there's a number of coupons there that you can get tire rotations for $16.95. I'll tell you what, I rotated my tires, and I would have gladly have paid somebody $16.95 to do it. But they'll do it for $16.95 with this coupon. You can get 10% off on all your parts through Brighton Ford. You can get the works, which is oil change, tire rotation, brake inspection, multi-point inspection, fluid top-off, battery test, all that for $29.95. And if you're putting a vehicle in there to be cleaned and get inspection from an insurance claim, they'll even give you a loaner on a car. So if you're in the Brighton area and you need service, or you just want to go in and take a look at a car, stop by Brighton Ford. Today I get to join, or I have joining me, a very dear friend of mine. We found out we're neighbors, but we met each other, well, in Israel. Larry Brooks, he's a retired chaplain, but for those of us who work for the Lord, we know we never really truly retired. But he was chaplain for the federal prison system. His name is Larry. Larry, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Rich.
Great. Now, I'll tell you, when Gary asked me to fill in for him a few months ago, he says, you know, Rick, I know you're a pastor, and so if you want to talk religion, you can. I know you folks like the political rhetoric that normally comes from this show, but I'm better at a different type of rhetoric than politics. Last time I was here, I had a dear friend of mine with me. Her name was Wendy Linday, and I first met her at a Tea Party event. It was pretty interesting because I was actually talking about the First Amendment at the Tea Party and how that affected our country. And after I did my talk on the, and we're going to talk more about that today, but after I did the talk on the First Amendment, I met a young lady. And this young lady, she says, you know what's really wrong with this country today is that the government took prayer out of schools. And Larry's sitting here nodding his head in agreement. And Larry, they can't hear that on the radio, but he's agreeing with me. good, he gives me a thumbs up. and he says, took prayer out of school, and that's the big problem. And I says, well, I agree, taking prayer out of school is a dramatic change for this country, from where this country came from. But then I asked her this question, and this was what was really telling. I says, but no prayer in school, when was the last time you prayed with your child, especially before going to school or coming home from school, or even throughout the day, not including just before a meal, you know? And she says, well, I don't pray with my children. And, you know, if you want prayer in a child's life, it has to start at home, right? It really does. So this is one thing we're lacking in our country today. And I truly believe that, you know, out in Massachusetts, there's this huge monument to the pilgrims. And the whole center of this monument is the center of the pilgrim belief, and that is their faith. The center of the monument is faith itself. And this is what they built their life around. But as you go around this monument and you look at it, what you find out is they taught that really faith and education and prayer and studying God's word all started first at the home. And the home was the center of society, and we don't do that anymore. We kind of like misplaced the home, and so something's been really working on my heart lately, and which is why I put a different spot on the Moment of Clarity. For those of you who don't recognize me, I run a spot during the week called Moment of Clarity. And what we're going to talk today has a lot to do with the spot that's running currently. So if I can look at over there and get cut one to run, please.
During the Civil War, Dwight Moody knew the great division in this nation was an issue of spirituality. He knew we needed revival. His focus was on the soul of mankind. In his most famous quote about his own work, he said, "I look upon this world as a wrecked vessel. God has given me a lifeboat and said to me, 'Moody, save all you can.'" Today, the problems are again spiritual, and this nation is again in need of revival. If the past is an example of how God works, revival will only come when we realize how far we have fallen and truly become terrified at the very thought of God's wrath. This nation is again a wrecked vessel in need of revival. To those in Christ, God has given you a lifeboat. Save all you can. If we do not have revival, we will face the wrath of God. Only those within the lifeboat will make it through. I am Pastor Richard Dietering, bringing you a moment of clarity in American history.
While back on Facebook, I made the statement that back in the 1840s and 1850s, the Civil War was predictable by the division that the nation was seeing within itself. And you didn't have to be a prophet to see that this war or this country was heading towards a civil war. And I made the statement that we're heading towards that same thing. We are actually more divided now as a nation than the nation was in 1840 and 1850. And when I put that down, I ended up with the statement is, like Jeremiah wept for Jerusalem, I weep for my nation. And my dear friend Larry, he put this great little statement. As a matter of fact, I think it's the only one. I liked all the statements that were there personally, but it's the only one that I actually marked on Facebook that I liked. And he made a reference to a revival that's going on in West Virginia right now. And he says, may that revival spread throughout the nation. And so I brought him in a little bit. He brought some information on the revival. What's going on in West Virginia? Just tell me. I'll tell you, I looked it up. When you put that up before he clicked like, I looked up what was going on in West Virginia. And I'm going, wow, why isn't this like everywhere? Every church should be preaching and talking about this from the pulpit. This is exciting what's going on. What's going on in West Virginia?
Yeah, you're right. It is very exciting indeed. And lately in the news, what we've been hearing about West Virginia is the flooding that's going on, mm-hmm. and we certainly need to keep the folks in prayer over there about that, the ones that have been affected by it. But there is some other newsworthy events going on that are even stronger than the flooding stories, and that is this great revival that has started out. It just happened. And I've got a news report with me from the Assemblies of God that put it out, and it starts out saying that a spiritual awakening that has led to an estimated 3,000 conversions. Now just think about that for a moment. 3,000 conversions. And appears poised to last through the summer is creating enthusiasm among churches in southern West Virginia. And this article is from May of 2016. So it just started a few weeks ago, and yeah, praise God, this is
and it's still
what
going.
We need.
Yeah, I want you to know, right now what's going on in the church, we can look at some good things, but one of the things I was talking to Larry about earlier is people are so caught up in battling each other on their differences in their belief. Scripture tells us not to get caught up in the small things. I mean, we have to be very careful on what we're willing to cut fellowship over. I'm not a big fan of ecumenicalism, so don't think that's what I'm endorsing here now. I think doctrine is very important, and I believe that if you believe something is doctrine, you need to stand by it and follow it. Brother Larry and I come from different theological camps, so to speak, right? He's of the Assembly of God, a charismatic camp. I am from evangelical Baptist swing of the camp. So we have some differences. I will say, though, Larry, this morning for a short time, I almost became charismatic. I really did. You ever get up in the morning and all of a sudden, I don't want to gross anyone out here, but you ever flush a toilet and all of a sudden you notice the water starts rising up and you realize there isn't a plunger nearby? You go through this panic, right? And all of a sudden, I'll say that happened to me this morning. The water's rising up and the toilet's getting to the top. I go, stop! Yeah, and of course the water didn't. And that was my experience with charismatic movement. It was a failure. I don't think that counts. But Larry and I have fun. We can tease each other. But we do recognize the fact that we are brothers in Christ.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
In spite of what we have in doctrinal differences, we can come together on what we do agree upon, and we do agree upon Jesus Christ as our salvation. Amen. And so, I think at this point, and what I really feel is this country is in need of revival. I think that what's going on in West Virginia is great, but like you made the statement, Larry, it needs to blanket this country.
Yes.
There is a 19th century evangelist that actually had a lot to do with the salvation of bringing Moody to the Lord. His name was Gypsy Smith, and he was really big. He was an English evangelist, and he was really big on revival, but how he got started in revival was he knelt by his bed one night. He took a piece of chalk, marked a circle around himself, and he says, "Lord, let revival start in this circle. It needs to start with us, just as the family needs to pray with, start at home with prayer. We have got to, if we're going to have revival in this country, it needs to start with us. We cannot depend, and I'm going to make this point very clearly, and this is not against a slam against any political person, but no political candidate can make this country great again. Not a single one of them. I don't care what the promises are. It's going to take God to make this country great again. And my proof is this. When this nation has its eyes towards God, this nation prospers. When this nation all of a sudden decides that God is in the way, God shouldn't be in certain locations, and this nation starts turning its eyes away from God, this nation goes down quickly. So regardless of what happens in the political arena, if we don't turn our eyes as a nation back to God, this nation is going to delve into destruction. And I firmly believe that. I don't care who the president is. I mean, one candidate might take us there quicker than another. But if we don't have our eyes towards God, we can't expect to really prosper as a nation again. We should learn that from Israel. When Israel would keep its eyes towards God, great things happen, right?
That's right.
And when they took their eyes off God, bad things happened. You know, Moses keeping his arms up or putting his arms down. So we need that. There's a verse. I asked Brother if you'd read it. It's from, I'll let you mention the verse and go ahead and read it.
Okay, this is from Psalm 85 and verse number 6. "Will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?"
Yeah, and that verse is asking God to revive us again. So we know revival actually comes from God.
Yes.
So this is where it becomes going to that Gypsy Smith thing, that we pray to God that if he's going to bring revival, have it begin with me. Have it begin with us, you know, as individuals. And revival, if you think of the word, vive is talking about life, again, to be brought back to life again. Revival speaks more of the condition of the heart of the church than, let's say, an evangelical movement of going out and bringing people in. Is the church has got to be brought back to life. You as the listeners have heard me time and time again state to you that I feel that the pulpit in the United States is broken. We are spending too much time worrying about the small stuff and sweating the small things, and we're not spending enough time remembering our first love, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got our eyes turned away from that. So we have to look at revival. I'm going to play a song, but I want you to hear this verse from Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6, verse 8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" If we can play cut two.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I
I don't care how many times I hear that song, I still love it. Again, this is Pastor Richard Dietering. Anyone who wants to call in regarding the topic of today's show, which is Revival in America, phone number is 822-1600. That's area code 734-822-1600. And let's take a call real quick. Ken, you have a statement you want to make about religious revival in America?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that as someone who is a practicing Orthodox Lutheran, I say that the idea of what you describe as a revival is not going to happen, because now I look at the condition of the world today as far as our moral corruption, and I also look at Scripture, 2 Timothy verses 3 and 4, that deal with the fact that a time will come where they will turn away from the truth and turn to fables, or another way of looking at it, turn to lies. I truly believe that we've hit that point in time that we are not going to reverse course from where we stand today. I believe that we are going to continue down the slope until the end of the time. One of the things that I look at too, all those churches that hold to the understanding of sola scriptura, that only the Bible is the source of Christian authority, and reject the old heresy of enthusiasm, all those churches are dying out quickly. The Orthodox Lutheran churches, the Anglicans, the Presbyterians, all those that truly hold to the idea that only through Scripture does God talk to man and not through any other means, those churches are dying out really quick. And so I really believe that we've hit that point in time that we're not reversing course.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ken. I will sit there and say, Ken, I'm not that far off from you in this aspect. Up until recently, I've been telling myself, and by the way, I am a firm believer in sola scriptura, scripture alone. I give no other authority to any other organization. I get all my foundational belief from scripture. I do not get it from a papacy. I don't get it from anywhere else. And matter of fact, I'm in the middle of a huge debate with some people that don't believe in sola scriptura on my off time. So I've been spending actually quite a bit of time defending sola scriptura, and you are right. That view of sola scriptura is becoming less and less, only because more and more people are turning away from God. But where I think I have been close to where you are now is I often said to myself, we are in those end times. It's a downward slope from here. We can't pull out of it. Everything is lined up for end time prophecy. Absolutely. And I will sit there and say, we are lined up right up for end time prophecy. But then I also have to remind myself of this. When I take a look at the history of the Great Awakenings in this world, when I take a look at the way revivals happen in this world, it's always been when the world was in the most dire need of it, when we've hit bottom and everyone else thought this is the end. And that's when God came through and chose his miraculous ability to prove us wrong time and time again, that he can pull revival out of the hat, so to speak, and he can put it in our hearts. But I do believe that we have got to be willing to allow revival to happen in our heart first. Because if we can, as a church, don't allow ourselves to allow revival in ourselves, and we don't allow us to really show God's awesomeness to the world, and to really remind ourselves how awesome is. It's amazing when you watch when I watch Christians pray, they almost look like they're robots doing it. They're not having a conversation with God. They go through their incantations, so to speak, instead of just having a conversation with God. So you might be 100% right, Ken. We might be heading towards that great apostasy that's talked about in Scripture, and there may be no way out. But we are still, as Christians, are supposed to be the light and the salt. And as the light and the salt, we can pray for revival to start within us. And if it's going to happen, we have to be willing to let it happen through us. So part of me hopes you're right. Because if you are right, and we are towards those end times, amen, Lord. what a glorious day, especially for believers. But if you're wrong, well, then we've got to pray that revival starts with us. Brother Larry, you had a story about a church that was experiencing revival.
Yeah, and also, if I may, I'd just like to say that we need to see the big picture. You know, it's true the Bible does speak about coming into the end times, and we can see things going on that seem to put us right there. Mm-hmm. And as F.F. Bruce says, each generation could be the last one until Christ comes back. But also, the book of Revelation speaks of just multitudes praising the Lord who can become Christians. So even as we're going into the end times of losing the values that we're losing in our country and all the terrible things happening, there still is the moving.
And Larry, I'm going to have to cut you off right here. This is a hard break. We'll be back right after these messages.
P. People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Glenn Beck, Veyrone X, and Dana Lash. And they stay tuned in for news from around Michigan with Dan Martin. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio. I'm Paul Stevens. Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton interviewed by the FBI today in connection with her use of a personal email server.
Her aides say it was voluntary. The meeting lasted 3.5 hours, we're told. The Clinton campaign would like to put this day behind them. They had been expecting that Hillary Clinton would be called by the FBI as part of this investigation.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin in Washington. More details now on an overnight terror attack in Bangladesh.
The attack happened in a busy cafe in Dhaka, which is popular with foreigners and wealthy Bangladeshis. And it seems that these people were the targets. Now, the White House has confirmed that sadly one U.S. citizen was amongst the dead. It's believed that three of the victims were studying in the U.S.
Fox's Kitty Logan, ISIS militants claiming responsibility for that attack. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Get ready for the Girl Scouts of Southeastern Michigan's fundraising event, 16th Annual Golf Classic for the Girls. It'll take place Monday, August 15th at 11 a.m. There'll be foursomes, 18-hole scramble, awards, prizes, gift certificates, goodie bags, silent auction, raffles, lunch, and a dinner banquet. Enjoy the outdoors, a round of golf, great food and prizes, and it's all for the girls. The Girl Scouts of Southeastern Michigan's annual golf classic is dedicated to raising funds to support nearly 24,000 girls currently participating in Girl Scout programs throughout Southeastern Michigan. Again, it'll take place August 15th at 11 a.m. at Elks Lodge number 222 in Grand Blanc. Cost is $120 per person or $450 per foursome. For more information, you can call the Golf Classic Department at 313-870-2562 or visit gssem.org. Washtenaw County Farms in the Western Lake Erie Basin may be eligible to receive up to 5 free soil tests through the Washtenaw County Conservation District's Michigan Agriculture Environmental Assurance Program. The Western Lake Erie Basin includes the River Raisin and Stony Creek watersheds, encompassing all of Augusta, Bridgewater, Manchester, Saline, and York Townships, and portions of Freedom, Lodi, Pittsfield, Sharon, and Ypsilanti Townships. For more information, call 734-205-1218 or visit washtenawcd.org.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com. Or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
Dr. Michael Singleton offers family dentistry you can trust with over 20 years of experience in all areas of dentistry. Multiple ways to enhance your smile, from simple whitening to complete veneers, same-day crowns, laser cavity detection, preventative, restorative, and advanced cosmetic dentistry. It's tomorrow's dentistry today. Open Monday through Saturday at 7 a.m. with late evening hours to fit your schedule. Contact Dr. Michael Singleton at 1081 North Ann Arbor Street in Saline, Michigan, or call 734-429-7415 or visit them on the web at singletonsmiles.com.
Get hip to Fast Eddie's Spotlight on Vocal Harmony. Each week, Eddie's Caravan devotes an entire segment of the program to showcase doo-wop groups like the Teenagers, Moonglows, Skyliners, and Cordettes. Cats and kittens, dig out your white bucks and saddle shoes and get ready to bop.
Tune in for Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie, Saturday evenings from 6 to 8 on Wham! You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And we're back, and I am still not Gary Wellings. The political rhetoric will continue next week when Gary is back, and we might even get to some of that today. But we're talking about revival. But before we do, Gary is able to do the Drift and keep the Drift online only because he has some really great sponsors, such as Regal Auto Parts. They're in Whitmore Lake, 6270 Whitmore Lake Road, and they have used tires, batteries, alternators to start. I love their ad in the Current. It says, "Summer is here, go explore." You know, it takes me to one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It says, "This too shall pass." I love that. This too shall pass. You know, you hurt yourself, you know, this too shall pass. You're having a bad day, this too shall pass. But it also means when you're having a really great summer, this too shall pass. When you're having a really best week ever, that too shall pass. The one thing that stays constant is our Lord Jesus. But in this case of Regal Auto Parts, summer is here. But folks, this too shall pass. So if you have auto parts or stuff you want to do on get your car fixed, don't put it off. Before you know it, there's going to be snow on the ground again. This nice weather, this too shall pass. We're talking about revival in America, and joining me is my dear friend Larry. Just a little bit about it. We met in Israel. We went on a fantastic tour together with Israel. The part that in Israel that affected me the most was actually at a little dig site, the sifting project. And you and I worked together on the sifting project.
Yes, I remember.
Mean, I wrote my whole thesis in seminary based on that little project. I mean, that's how much it impacted me. And yet, we're not one of the lucky ones that found something great that day.
But it was still fun.
It was still fun. Before we get to our caller, and we'll be taking a call here in a second, you were telling us a story about a church, or you're going to tell us a story about a church. And revival. Why don't you continue?
Yes, I'm anxious to share this. Back in the late 1980s, I was at a point of transition in my ministry. My wife and I had pastored a church, and we attended a church in South Texas while we were waiting for the Lord to open up a new door for us. Our son was very young at the time. And this church we attended in South Texas ran around 250 to 300 people on a regular basis, had services Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, and Sunday nights. And this church was in a revival. It's the only church I've ever attended that I believe was really having this wonderful revival. And what I mean by that is that every week something would happen. Either a backslider would commit their life back to the Lord, or somebody who wasn't saved would commit their life to Christ. And maybe not every single service, but there wasn't more than maybe two or three services that would go by and something like that would happen. The pastor allowed me to preach some of the services, and I remember one particular Sunday morning, I was going to preach on John chapter 3, where Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus and explained to him about how you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And as the service was beginning, I was sitting on a platform, and the Lord impressed upon me that somebody in the service was going to get saved that morning. I didn't know who it was, but I just felt it very strongly. Well, as it turned out, there was a woman who had been in that church, very faithful member, but her husband never came to services with her. Well, that Sunday morning, he was there. He responded, and he gave his life to Christ. And then a couple of weeks later, I was talking with him at one of the services, and he drove a truck for a utility company, and he was telling me how that he had a certain route that he drove every morning on his job. And he told about how that there would be a girl who would be sunbathing, South Texas. This was frequent almost year-round. But he told me that after he gave his heart to Christ, he started feeling convicted about that, that maybe he shouldn't be enjoying driving by and looking at her in her swimsuit laying out in the sun every morning. So he made up in his mind to figure out a different route to drive to work. And when he told me that story, I thought, now this man has really gotten a relationship with Jesus Christ here. He's been touched.
You've got to try to avoid temptation wherever you can. You know, and again, I don't want to disparage what Ken was saying. And that's
sure,
what I'm trying
right.
to say on this.
Oh,
on this
absolutely.
Next statement is, we might be ahead towards his time, but we should not rule out revival. We shouldn't rule revival. Yeah, I know. I have too many people telling me, revival can't happen. Well, you know what? I've got a big God, and he surprised me on what he's been able to do, and I believe revival can happen. I was witnessing to a friend of mine over in Turkey. He was a secular Muslim. He had brought some friends over. that were trying to get their whole family over from Iraq. He got the mother and the husband and wife over, and the sister of the wife, and of course their young boy was still stuck in Iraq. ISIS ended up killing the young boy. He was 7 years old. They cut off his genitals and then hung him and took pictures. They put it on the internet, the picture. And my Muslim friend called up and says they need to counsel, and I don't know how I can find anyone to counsel with them. And this woman's biggest concern was how to forgive. How to forgive those who did it. And as we were counseling, my friend was the one who was translating. And as he was translating, he ended up coming to the Lord. They found a small church finally, and this is the point I wanted to make of this. They found a small church in Turkey. It was a small home church. It had about a dozen people in it. At which point, my friend went and smuggled some Christians back out. That added another 50, so they had like 60 people. That church in Turkey right now is approaching 1,000 strong.
Oh, praise God.
And so, I mean, you want to see revival. It's happening there in the midst with ISIS now attacking Turkey and everything else. Christians are proudly growing and growing in numbers. Don't tell me revival can't happen in this country. It can with prayer. Hey, Walter, I see you're on the line. You want to talk about revival in America? Are you going to tell me it can happen or can't happen?
Hey, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. So that goes scripture for revival right there. It means it can't be a pessimist but optimist, right?
Right.
And I'm going to say what Ken was saying. His scriptures that back up what he's saying. His scriptures that back up what we're saying about our hope for a revival.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think America is almost borderline on the point of no return because a lot of churches that know better.
Hey, can I?
Should be doing what we're supposed to do. And it's almost like a slap in the face of God where it says Christians got to get revived. That lets you know we're doing some compromising and backsliding.
You know,
we're so caught up in American dream and our prosperity and our idols.
Right.
And we have lost our first love. I think one of you guys quoted that. We've left our first love.
Yep, that was me. But let me, you said something about we are close to beyond, how do you put that?
The point of no return.
Can I just on that one phrase? I want to point out somebody who is to that point. Point of no return. Wasn't Lazarus there? He was to the point of no return, right? Then the Lord said, "Get up and arise."
Yeah. There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen. That's a good one.
There is no point of no return. You know, you think about Lazarus. You think about that. Here he is. Lazarus is dead. He is now with Moses in paradise. He's with Moses and Abraham, you know, having a good meal with them. And all of a sudden, here's Lazarus, and he's back. No, Lord, I'm getting to stink. And then he had to go through that all over again. But no,
yeah.
as far as point of no return, that's something I've learned that I can't believe in, not with the God I have.
Well, that's a condition.
Yep.
That's a condition. I guess in the context I'm talking about, I know what you're saying. There's a point, maybe I worded it wrong, but even in the Old Testament, he says, well, he's being ready to judge Israel, send him to Babylon. Or judgment by Babylonians, he says that, and he even said in the book of Ezekiel, also it says, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job, righteous men, are praying for them, it says that God would not hear their prayers.
Yep, there comes a
even
time.
Even though righteous men were there. God, I think that's what I'm saying. I think America is just about that.
Right. But I would sit there.
Every man delivers his own soul.
Yeah, I agree. And I will sit there and say, when God says it's to the point of no return, well, then we take his word for it. I have a hard time making that call.
Let me say this real quick, though. What I want to really talk about, along with what we're talking about as far as revival.
Uh-huh.
I think for years, as the church, okay, let me go there.
Go ahead.
You know what? Annually, we have what we call National Day of Prayer and Repentance and Fasting.
Yeah, I wish
we got to wait till that day to repent. That means live like hell, all is well before that day, sin up until the last moment, and then repent. And then go right after that day is over, go right back to your sins.
You know what?
And I think that's what's happening right now.
I agree with you 100%. And I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, I commented about something I said on Facebook where I said, I feel like Jeremiah weeping for Jerusalem. Only I'm weeping for my country. Thing of it is we as Christians, we see this going on. And I'm going to put this out as a challenge to you, Walter. We see what's going on. We know in our heart what needs to happen, but we sit back and complain about it. But what are we actually doing to bring the change that we see needs to be changed? For example, I'm sitting here saying we need revival, and I pray daily now that, Lord, let revival begin right here in this circle. Just as Gypsy Smith said, I have this circle around me. Lord, let it start right here with me. Because if we do not turn our eyes back towards God, no politician in the world is going to save this nation. One might take us to destruction a little bit, might help us get to destruction a little bit slower than the other, but this country will only know prosperity again when we put away worldly things and start turning our eyes back towards God. That's my opinion as a Christian. And unfortunately, as a Christian, our views are frowned upon more and more in society, which is telling me that maybe this is it's when society starts turning their eyes away from God and starts rejecting the remnant, even that's there of the church. That's when God really shows himself and he shows his miracles. I mean, all I can do is pray we are as Ken says, we are at end times and we're there. And then praise God. Or, no, God's going to show how great he is with another revival, in which case, praise God. God be the glory, right?
That's right. And check this out. Okay, he says we are light and we're salt, right? Preservative of society, ourselves and society, right?
Yes.
Okay,
we can say preservative and flavor.
Yeah, we have lost it, and this is where I'm going. I got a scripture that a lot of us love to quote. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which I call by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. That's the one we don't. In fact, that's the part right there we don't want to hear. We kind of gloss over that one. Turn from our wicked ways. That's repentance. Okay, and then I will heal their land. We spiritualize that scripture sometimes. I think it's an excuse for the National Day of Prayer people and a lot of us Christians not to witness to people on a daily basis as God leads us. How many times have we missed the opportunity? This is what I call revival, to witness to people the simplistic things. Go into all the world. He gave us that commandment, and it says he that knows to do good and he don't do it is sin. If we're not doing that, we're disobeying God, and that's the only way we're going to get the true revival is people. The examples that you guys gave mm-hmm. about people turning to Christ in Pennsylvania in certain places, that's true revival, and it's accompanied, preceded by prayer. Sure, we got to pray. Preceded, and for that to be happening, somebody got to be doing some true repentance in the body of Christ. But we still use 2 Chronicles as an excuse to not witness. Oh, we're just gonna keep praying. We're gonna keep praying. He gave us the solution. We got to keep praying. National Day of Prayer. But if you don't witness to people, we as the body of Christ, we got enough gospel to save the whole world.
Amen.
But we're not doing it. People are intimidated. Christians, you see them in the store, they look like they're too embarrassed to talk about Christ. I ran into some of them myself.
You mentioned Ezekiel earlier, which is amazing because I'm writing a commentary on it right now. I love the book of Ezekiel. A lot of people try to shy away from it. I don't know why. But Ezekiel 3:18 says, "When I say to you, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. That same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand." We have a responsibility to, like you brought up, being the salt, being the preservative, being the flavor. We have a responsibility to tell those that are bring us down, we have the responsibility to give them God's word. Now, we can do it in a way that we can tell them about a loving Christ, the gospel, and what this means to their life. We can do it in a flavorful way, right?
Yeah, in a flavorful way. It's just that when you start doing it, you're not going to be fulfilled as a Christian if we're not doing God's will.
Amen.
In our life. Which means going to church, we go through the same routines. Go to church, get pumped up and primed up by the praise and worship, which you should be pre-prayed up and pumped up before you get there. But we go through the motions and all that, but you are some Christians are, some of us are some of the most miserable people in the world because he did not call us to just go to church, go through the routine, hear the preacher preach. Half of the people ain't got no Bibles to check behind them anyway.
Yeah, I know the type of Christian you're talking about. They look like they've been sucking on lemons all day.
Yeah, come home, go through the, you know, they probably don't live it when we get home, and go back to church, do the same routine. You will be more one miserable Christian. I think the most miserable people in the world are disobedient Christians, especially in the area of what God's number one heartbeat is, lost souls and not witnessing. It builds you up, man. When you do it, you keep talking about getting edified. You even lose your taste for food sometimes.
Hey, Walter. I always enjoy your call. You know I do. We have another caller I want to get to. Try to give somebody else a chance. Hold on.
Yeah,
go ahead, Larry.
I just wanted to mention, in the scripture that we started out with in Psalm 85 and verse 6, about asking the Lord to revive us again, it says that your people may rejoice in you. Yeah. So when revival comes, we're going to have joy in our lives. We're going to be rejoicing.
Amen. Okay, hey, Ed's on the line. He wants to chime in on this conversation. How's it going, Ed?
Hey, brother. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for what you do. Both of you, actually. My good friend Walter was used to be in my Bible study at our church, at Assembly of God Church in town. And that brings up he was a faithful attender of a Bible study. And if we want to have revival and we wonder why people aren't willing to witness, I think often it's because they're ill-prepared for defending the faith. The most simple, simplest of ways.
Agreed.
And so you don't see a lot of people attending Bible studies anymore, you know?
You know what? You don't see people attending Bible studies. You see people not attending churches. You see churches not teaching the gospel, not teaching the word.
Seeker-friendly.
Yeah.
Seeker-friendly churches.
They're absolutely right. You get people that are afraid to offend. When I used to do a lot of work with Right to Life, certain pastors refused to talk about abortion from the pulpit in the fear of offending their congregation. So, I mean, not only is the pulpit broke, but the Christians are ill-equipped, and they don't know how to get equipped, nor do they really search to get equipped. I hate to say that. They become just satisfied where they're at in their eating their baby food and never try to go for the meat. But I agree. They don't know how to, and if they spend more time in Bible studies and more time at church, they might learn enough of the word to be able to get out and give the gospel. The gospel isn't that difficult, folks. Here's the facts. We are sinners. Whether you believe you're born as a sinner or if you take on sin, you become depraved with your first sin. We are sinners. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. And Romans tells us that the penalty for that sin is death. There's no way around it. The penalty for sin is death, but guess what? Jesus came, he died on the cross, and he paid the penalty for you. All you have to do is believe he did it.
I mean,
believe he did it, and believe he did it to forgive your sins. I mean, it's not rocket science, folks. It's much easier.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
This is not revival in America per se right now, but I want to point out something. A friend of mine, he's a missionary to Somalia, and I can't name him, but he posted recently on Facebook that July 2nd is seen by Muslims around the world as a particularly like a power day, like a day where their prayers are for salvation are amplified, and he's encouraging people to actually pray that Muslims would find Christ on this day, whether in dreams or visions or people sent to them or just a burning to know who Isa is.
Right.
And I just want to point that out. If anybody wants to join in on that prayer, well, they're welcome.
I think we pray when my church gathers every Sunday, we pray for ISIS. We do. We pray for their conversion. We figure if God could use someone as reluctant as Jonah to go in there and bring a whole nation to God that he didn't want to, he can do the same for ISIS. And we should. We should witness to them, and we should pray for them. And here's what I tell people. Right now, it's very easy. There was another attack yesterday with ISIS in Bangladesh. They're attacking. So, yeah, we keep them in prayer. But here's the shocking news. If you've got a neighbor that doesn't know Christ, he's just as lost as that Muslim.
Yep.
Okay? Even if he, if he's just an atheist, he's just as lost as that Muslim. And so we have to keep them all in prayer. But anything else, Ed?
No, have a blessed Independence Day, man.
You too, man. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'd just like to say that church that I was speaking of earlier in South Texas experiencing a revival back in the late 1980s. When I was there, I was trying to figure out what was the key that was different in this church than all other churches I knew of. Other churches that were evangelical, Pentecostal, people would get saved once in a while. But in this church, every week something happened. And I found out that every Saturday night, the pastor was having a small prayer meeting. He was in a sanctuary, and there was a few people who joined him in prayer. And that seemed to be the center of it and the beginning of that revival that was happening in that church.
You know, and I think you bring a very valid point. I once, I have a very small church, and my lady in this congregation came up, and she told me about somebody who was sick in the congregation. And I says, you know, let's go into prayer right now. She says, that's all you got? You know, she was a new member of the church. I mean, brand new member of the church as our congregation. Is that all you got? She says. And I says, let's go and pray. And we went in and prayed. And then I made a few more calls, and I said, let's get them in on the prayers. And what she found out is when you pray in earnest, because people forget, God is not a genie, first of all. And I don't want to give that idea. He is not a genie where the lamp and you say, Lord, you're going to do this. He's the almighty creator of the universe that we are going to. And so we have to, when we go to our Lord, we have to remember we are going to the creator of this universe. That's huge, folks. I mean, that's bigger than going to talk to the biggest superstar. That'd be if that's bigger than going to see Frank Sinatra if he was still alive. You know, I mean, not to downplay it. We're going to the creator of the universe when we go in prayer. He's all powerful. So when we go in prayer, don't say, is that all you got? I mean, we are going and we are prostrating ourselves in front of the Almighty, the creator of the universe, to ask a boon of him, to ask a favor of him, to be done in his will. And him being a loving father, he's the perfect loving father, he will do what's right for us in our prayer.
Amen. That's right.
So, yeah, if you go in prayer, great things can happen if you're doing it for his will and his glory. If you're doing it for your will and your glory and it's all about you when you go for him, he might answer that just to prove a point, but he'd rather be about his glory.
Amen.
So I also would like to, hey, Walter, if you're still listening out there, Ed said you used to be part of the Bible study. You know your scripture. You might want to jump back into that Bible study. just a thought for you. For the last minute here, I just want to say this, and now I'll get a little bit on the political side. For those of people who do not believe that the First Amendment was speaking to our right to be Christian, Justice Story, who is one of the very first Supreme Court justices ever appointed, stated that the First Amendment was about our faith and our Christianity needed to be protected. So we will pray for God. You have a blessed day, and thank you, Larry, for joining us.